Okay, let's get started. Today is our last discussion of anything to do with the interior castle. So all we're going to do today is talk about, you know, what'd you get out of it? What things impressed you in that study? And then next week we'll begin our study of the Psalms. And so we'll go from there. So who wants to start? What'd you get out of the...
Well, I think the main thesis of the whole book is humility and knowing yourself is the beginning of prayer.
Right.
Of the attitude you should have to start prayer. Because she repeats it through all the chapters.
Yeah. I got, to put it concisely, which is hard for me to draw. The different levels of prayer and the deepening of our love for God goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Never stays the same.
Yeah, I get that. There's never an end. It only can grow. You know, like your interior life can grow bigger. And, you know, you think of all the people that, I mean, includes myself, when you're younger and you never even, you're just thinking in your head to yourself. And then, you know, I don't know what the change is that you suddenly are
talking
looking,
to God.
You're talking to God and reviewing your life with God. And then, you know, a dialogue goes on. And then, you know, you can only grow from there.
And perseverance on the spiritual journey. Never give up.
It's so easy to have
that's
a dry
big, that's
day.
A big theme all through the book, perseverance. And Jesus talks about that in the gospel too. He said those who persevere to the end, you know, will make it and stuff.
It's a good fight.
Yeah, that's a good fight. Fight the good fight. Right? And St. Paul talks about it too. Right. You know, so perseverance is a big thing. Yeah.
That's what Father said today. He
today.
Ended his speech, right?
Right, yeah.
Speech.
Yeah.
It's kind of...
What other things impressed you about this?
And how much God loves us.
Yeah.
The love of God. I always thought that anyway. We have no idea. You say, my friend, the saints were saints because they had a much better idea of how much God loved us. And they wanted to respond to that love. They knew much more.
100%.
I thought they were smarter, but they knew the love of God.
Yeah,
I think that comes with age. You see how he's helped you through everything.
Yeah.
That it's natural effect.
Yeah. It's kind of amazing when you find a child that has a sense of that. You know, like some of these child saints, they get a sense of how much God loved them. And
I think she impressed us with that's a gift.
Yeah.
A lot of people give, and you can't make it happen.
Right.
Like St. Therese, I mean, mind-boggling. You know, she willed to be a saint at such an early age. You know, she, 4 or 5 years old, like her
But she was kind of an ordinary kid, so it gives us hope.
Yeah, she
had
her
problems. Kind of like that as a kid, too.
Yeah.
I always get a kick out of how God deals with some of these saints, like Teresa and now, like, say, Faustina. Like, you know, Faustina was going to dances and stuff, and God says, when are you going to stop ignoring me?
It kind of makes you jealous that you don't get a more direct communication like that.
But I think it points out two things, that he has already selected certain people.
Right.
That he wants to use as examples for the rest of us, you know.
Yeah.
And so, I think that's, you know, so when he's got somebody identified like that and they're ignoring him, he says, taps them on the head and says, "Hey, wake up! You know, I got a special job for you."
Yeah. And I'm thinking of Therese. I think, like, we have to ask, you know, Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me patience. Lord, give me this. Lord, make me a great saint. Stuff like that. And it was one of them, Teresa of the.
Well, that's part of the reading this morning, James. The first reading in the Mass today.
For wisdom.
Which James says, ask for wisdom.
And I think, I don't know, I got a memory. Teresa of the Andes, I think it was her, beautiful young girl. She played the piano beautifully. She was just beyond. No, I'm getting her mixed up, I'm sorry. St. Therese again. Her sister in the convent was a great artist. And she wanted to be that. And she asked Jesus, she said, please, please make me a great artist. And then she was able.
That was Teresa of Lisieux.
Yeah, she was able to do beautiful. Mm-hmm. And there was some other gift she asked. The sister had it, and she wanted it. I don't know, because she wrote plays in the convent to rest. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember the other thing that she asked for, mm-hmm. but she asked.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's another lesson, too. You know, to ask for God to actually draw you closer to Him, mm-hmm. spiritually. You don't just sit back and just don't do anything, you know. You ask God to bring you closer to Him.
Yeah.
And and if you're disposed enough, then you'll start doing that.
Yeah. And somebody said, some saint or somebody said, if you get the desire and want to ask for something, God had the greater desire for you to have that before you asked.
Right.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, that's, you know, that makes sense. Yeah.
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 Because
He's going to inspire you to ask.
Yeah. Right. What else? Terrific.
What other things?
I forgot what I was thinking.
She struck me as Mary and Martha in action. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was way up there in the mystical life, but look what she did.
Well, she mentions that, too, in the seventh dwelling place, that you have to be both Mary and Martha. Mm-hmm. That was one of her last things she said.
Yeah.
Said you can't just pray all the time. You got to work too. But you can't just spend all your time working. You got to spend time praying too. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to be both Mary and Martha.
Mm-hmm. And you got to take what God gives you in your path.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously we're not going to have it easy. Every day is going to go smooth. Otherwise, you would never grow, which I never understood that until, you know, when you're younger, you're like, why does this happen? And why does that happen?
Or older.
I just want my day to go smooth every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a pretty important point about, you know, taking whatever God gives you.
Yeah.
Because you either deal with something that He sends to you, or you take it as a gift and then use it to accomplish something. So whatever He's giving you is something either like a cross that He wants you to bear, or some gift or something that He wants you to use to do something with, you know?
Mm. I mean, I think you have a little God winks, you know, probably every day, but some are so blaring. You know, I went to Medjugorje, and then I got that, you know, there's a statue out by the church, and people buy these little cloths, beautiful little things that say, and I rubbed it, and my husband did it too. And then we went, he kept saying, I really want to see my cousins. I haven't seen them in a long time. And so when we went to New York, and they're all older, and they all wanted to come. And the one cousin, it's really like a second cousin, has breast cancer, and she had COVID. And she's like, but I want to come. And so I sat at a long table at, like, I don't know where we were. And she was right across from me. And I said, and we're just chatting. I haven't seen her in so long. And I said, oh, yeah, we were just on our trip, and I went to Medjugorje. I think I told her, right? And she's like, what? And she goes, and I said, yeah, we saw the statue. And she goes, I know all about it. And then I'm like, oh, I have one. She was almost in tears.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, that's a God wink. I sat across from her, came up.
Exactly.
And, you know, and she had breast cancer, just been diagnosed.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah.
And so we have those all the time. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
And, you know, you think that had to go back all the way to me convincing my husband to go on this trip, pay the money, and get our passports, because it went back a long time.
Sure.
And, you know, it had to go back even farther than that, you know, for it all to line up.
Yeah.
It's funny.
What else?
Also appreciating and meditating on the Passion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's important.
All the saints do that.
I've read several things from saints that say the most important thing you can do is meditate on the Passion.
Mm-hmm. I think it was Saint Teresa of Avila. She said before she began her meditations, she always pictured Christ, like, in the Passion.
In His humanity, right?
Yeah, in His humanity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we can't go to God except through Christ.
And we learned how she prays, you know, with her, the pamphlet that you gave us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
how she does her.
And she struck me too, because we did this, you know, in the Carmelites a long time ago. But you get to know her, like reading it the second time. And in the beginning, it was like, no, she, you know, wait, why am I there? But her humanity came to me so vividly in this book that I never thought I would really like her or connect with her as much as St. Therese, who's easier to meet. And she struck me like so human with her sisters, because if they were sick, you eat, you eat.
Yes.
You know, she wasn't one of these cut and dry, rigid saints at all. She and that's the way saints are, pretty much.
Yeah.
They see the right thing to do.
Yeah, and I had this, I had the opposite effect.
So much.
I was much more impressed with Teresa of Avila than I was with Teresa of
Lisieux. Well, that's the intellectual ability.
You know, because when I read the story of the soul, I said, what a spoiled little brat it is.
And flowery and all this mushy-gushy stuff.
Yeah. I just thought she was real spoiled. She was always demanding stuff from her daddy, you know. And stuff that just, it just kind of struck me funny.
Maybe because as kids, we could relate to them a little more than you.
Teresa Elmo, it just seemed like she was kind
way
of
up there.
Up there. She had to rule all these girls, and then she had to do these different things, and then travel, and then kind
of... She was so busy, you know? She had so many things to accomplish.
Yeah.
Plus, her health wasn't good.
Yeah.
But she still kept going.
Yeah.
But she considered... What struck me about her was she always considered herself, when writing, like a great sinner. Like
that always bothers me about all the saints.
Well, they saw
they always recognize. I think what it is, they recognize how serious sin is and how much it offends God. Mm-hmm. And in fact, if you read if you read Eugene Boylan's book, This Tremendous Lover, he talks about why did Christ have to come? You know, why couldn't we just make atonement for the sins of humanity? And he said, because God is infinite, any sin against him takes on an infinite characteristic, because you're offending infinity, and that it took an infinite sacrifice to atone for that.
You must need a lot of humility to think that way.
Yeah.
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 That's right. Yeah.
And she always wanted truth.
Yeah.
And St. Therese, a little flower.
Yeah.
She always said, you know, God said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
And she always stressed truth. And I think St. Teresa, too.
Yeah.
Well, self-knowledge and truth.
Yeah, self-knowledge is never lie to yourself.
Yeah.
Never try to make yourself into something you're not, you know. That whole idea of growing in self-knowledge, too, I think was important. Because you don't just have humility and self-knowledge. You actually grow in those those two things. And so the further you go in prayer, the more you understand yourself. Mm. And that's part of what Jesus was doing with her, too. He was teaching her not just about himself, but also about herself. And I thought that was an important thing that was going on there.
Yeah.
He was helping her understand herself more and where she had to, where he was trying to call her to. And so where she had, and then she talks about the difficulties. I thought that was important, too. That when he's taking her through this journey, he's talking about, she's talking about all the difficulties that she's running into, and that she has to just persevere through them, and that you can't get scared when he's going to try to do something. And she talks about the first time he would do something like a locution or a vision or something, and how scared you might get. Say you can't be scared. You can't allow yourself, you can't allow your fear to overcome what's going on. You got to kind of go with it, you know, and trust God. Got to trust him, you know. I think the trust thing was big there too.
That was big. Trust.
Trust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But what just came to my mind now. She talked about the soul and this God is in the center. It's like the castle and the diamond. That was all infused knowledge that she got from God. I mean, you just don't wake up someday and get these thoughts.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
This was just...
Yeah, a lot of that was. And then her discussion about the difference between the soul and the spirit, I thought that was important, too.
Yeah.
And, but she never really goes into the, that much detail about the difference in this book.
No, I didn't think she did.
Yeah. She references it in another book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think I might go back and look that up.
Yeah.
And then if I can put something together on that, I'll send it out to everybody.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting, like, you know, just the different levels of the castle or the rooms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
just about how the snakes and how some people aren't even in the doorway of the castle.
Yeah. yeah.
And you can envision that.
Yeah.
yeah.
I got to tell you something funny. I'm not saying this to, I hate to use the word brag, you know what I mean? That's horrible. I'm just explaining something. Because we're all in the same book. After communion yesterday, it was Saturday, I came back, and like all I saw, you know, like you don't see it with your eyes, but like you see it somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like Christ was there, and he was like the king. And I remember Rick, and he looked very like an icon, something like that. I can see. But I saw it in my mind somehow, I don't know. So, and then he was there, and then it was like weird. It was like so bright, like the castle. I felt like I was in a castle, and it was all transparent and glittering like diamonds. Mm. And I'm looking at this, it's so bright.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah. It was like weird, because I couldn't say anything. Because usually you come back from being, you speak to Jesus and stuff like that. And this time I didn't speak. I just saw this. And it was like the castle. In the castle was this big diamond. And it was so big. So big. And I saw, and Christ was in the back, standing like this color, like dressed as a king, something like that. And I was trying to think later, the next day, was that Christ? Was that Jesus or was that God the Father? And I'm getting all mixed up. But then I saw something in a book said, Christ the King. I said, oh, it was Jesus. Okay, that answered that question. But then the thought that came to me, I guess, you know, all of a sudden, was that if I go into myself and spend quiet time with him, that's what I want to do. I want to go back to that place. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was the place, you know, like inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
That's the place. And I thought it's going to help me if I think of him standing there, like every time you do silent prayer or something, to go back to that. That will get me to go back and do it because I need pushing to do things. You know, I need
to forget. His presence.
Right? Mm-hmm. And that was it. And that image stays in my head. And I said, well, did I imagine that? No. Because you can think of, I was trying to think like, you know, you can think of the Blessed Mother. But it wasn't like I was thinking. It was just there.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, that's a good help. Because it'll make me want to go back there. So when I pray now, I picture Christ the King. It's like we need help. And he gave me the help to.
Yeah.
Because I know he's there. And it's tying in, because when I said to Father Smith, I said, you know, everything happens in your life. You can learn. Janet always says to me, Ma, what did you learn from that situation? I'll go, nothing. And she goes, no, there is something. She's so logical. Don't bother me. I learned nothing. So it taught being in the house alone for a month. I mean, you helped me, and you helped me a lot. It was
a silent retreat.
You know what?
Forced retreat.
Oh, God, I lost my thought. It's embarrassing. Jesus was so good to me to give me the grace to get through the month.
Mm-hmm.
But did I give him as much as myself during that month in prayer? No. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was keeping busy, but there was a lot of sins of omission where I could have prayed much more. I mean, you think of some of the saints, they could sit there for 3 hours and pray.
Mm-hmm.
I would read a book, I would do this. Yeah, I would pray off and on.
Mm-hmm.
But he gave me much more than I gave back to him. And he gave me the opportunity.
So that taught
me a lot about myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, more self, you know?
Well, it makes sense because, you know, where they say that Christ can never be outdone in generosity, mm-hmm. right? So whatever you give him, he's going to give you that much more back.
Yeah, but I could have given much, you know. I mean, you know, you hear the saints, some of them. I mean, I could have said a lot more rosaries. I could have said a lot more. I'm reading a book. I'm watching TV. I'm eating, you know, doing chores and praying in between. But
well, when you get home, get started.
That's what Father said to me. He said, you got 3 days before Lent. He said, you better get to it. But, you know, it works because you get that. You got to see yourself to make yourself get better.
Yeah.
That's what I'm finally getting. Mm-hmm. I saw myself right in front of me. 30 days of pleasing Eleanor to get through the 30 days. I gained a few pounds. Oh, well.
Okay.
Oh, well.
I wrote down a few things that impressed me, too. The first thing that kind of struck me going through there was that we actually can navigate through our souls through prayer. A lot of people, I think, don't ever think about being able to navigate through your own soul through prayer and going to different levels and depths within your soul to try to reach God at the center. Because we don't think of us walking around holding God in our soul at the center, right? Mm-hmm. We just think our soul is just this thing that's inside of our body. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to fly out of our body when we die and go up to wherever it is we're going to go to, right?
Okay.
But we don't think about navigating through it through prayer and then finding God at the center of that prayer, of the soul.
Just that she told us that that's possible. I kind of think of us all walking around just a big stomach. All we eat. Nothing in there. But it's not. It's so true.
But just the idea of being able to navigate through your soul.
Yeah.
I just thought that was an interesting thought. And then another thing that struck me that she said was that the soul has unlimited capacity.
Mm-hmm.
There's no limit to the capacity of the soul.
Doesn't that make sense to you, though?
Because it does.
How could we learn everything? You know, otherwise we'd just be stopping our tracks and we wouldn't keep going.
Well, we always think of capacity in terms of something physical, right?
Mm.
But the soul is a spirit. It's not physical. So there's nothing that God could keep teaching us about himself, ourselves, forever, and we never run out of space to store that knowledge.
Like St. Thomas Aquinas.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Can you picture someone like that? I can't even fathom.
Yeah. And it's the capacity for love, too, that that the soul has. And the idea that the more we love, the more capacity for love we gain.
Hmm.
We gain more capacity by sharing love. And the idea that she talks about, it really struck me when she said that you only know how much you love God by how much you love your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a really kind of an eye opener.
Yeah.
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 Love your neighbor. She repeated that a lot.
Yeah.
I thought that was I think because we always say, oh, yeah, I love God, I love God, I love God. But then, oh, I don't like this person. I hate that person.
You know? And you hear it at church all the time.
Yeah, right. You know, that the measure of your love for God is because he loves them. So how can you say you love God enough if you don't love what he loves? You know, it just makes sense when you think about it. You put the whole thing together.
This morning, after communion, you pray for people. And I prayed for Biden, and I go, that's the first time I ever said a Hail Mary.
That's good.
You know, it was hard to do. I mean, you wish every president well, but I really said it.
Maybe God's
when you pray for his conversion.
Right. Yes, keeping him alive until we get there. We're not doing too well.
Yeah.
I think when you get to know people, then you love them because you find out more. I mean, we went on our trip with the group to Magic Warrior. There was 30 people.
Yeah.
And there was there's some annoying in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get to know them and you're in there.
You can understand.
Yes. And at the end, you're all friends. And you know. It was meant, you know, you were meant to be in this little hodgepodge together, you know.
Right.
Yeah. There was one lady that drove me crazy. Drove my husband crazy, but drove him crazy more. And then I found out she, grew up near where I grew up, and then we got taught.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah. Connection. Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah. Those connections, they're funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she confirmed the doctrine of the indwelling Trinity. Because in the seventh dwelling place, she says she not only encounters Jesus in her soul, but the Father and the Holy Spirit as well. So she ends up confirming that that doctrine of the church, that the Trinity is dwelling within us. And the other thing that struck me along with that, and she didn't really mention it until she got to the seventh dwelling place, but that God is in us, but we are also in Him. They're both. And she references John 17, the prayer of Jesus to the Father at the Last Supper. You know, where He says we are in them and they are in us and stuff. And then she confirms that in the seventh dwelling place. That
it's just amazing she wrote all this and didn't, like, go running mad or afraid or, I mean, you know, who does she know that went through this that she could say, call up on the phone and say, hey, did you have this happen?
That's right.
No one.
Yeah, that's true. The really importance of obeying the commands of God, she makes a big point about that, and always striving to do God's will in all things. She makes a really big point about that, and because that's how you grow. You know, you're always it's the whole idea of submission to God in all things. You know, whatever He wants, that's what you want. And she mentions in tune with that the importance of doing everything for the glory of God, never for your own glory. It's always for the glory of God. She also talks about the how important it is to do everything you can to avoid all sin, even venial sin. Because a lot of people think, well, I can just go commit a bunch of venial sins. It's
how
okay.
How far can I go?
Yeah. I go to, all I got to do is go to communion and I get rid of my venial sins and all. And, but it's avoiding all sin is something very important, because that's how you grow in virtue. Because she also mentions the importance of growing in virtue. I forget which one of the dwelling places it was where she talked about that, but she mentions growing in virtue was a very important thing.
Because she said that you remain a dwarf if you don't grow in virtue. She said that you remain a dwarf.
Yeah.
If you don't continue to grow in virtue.
That's my problem.
That's true, yeah. And the idea that, you have to always be moving forward. There's no such thing as marching in place in prayer and love. You're either progressing or regressing.
Right.
You never stand still. Anytime you stop praying and start standing still, you're regressing.
When we read this, I decided that's what the nuns brought us up on. Because don't you remember hearing all of this? It's like the whole course in how to be Catholic. They must have just been reading her book.
Maybe.
It's like I heard all that.
Right. It didn't sink in, though.
You don't internalize
when you're younger.
Because they always said, offer everything up. Offer everything.
Yeah.
The first time I heard that, I go, offer what up? What are you talking about? What are you offering up? Sandwich? What are you talking about?
The other thing was when you started having experiences in your soul, to be very careful to get an idea of what the effect of those experiences are, because you don't know whether they come from the devil or from God. And she talks about how the devil can never give you peace. He'll give you anxiety, a disturbance, and this kind of thing. But the love and the peace that comes from any encounter with God is something He can't give, because He doesn't have it to give it to you.
Isn't that a good thing she told us? That kind of answers a lot of questions when you had something going on.
That's right. Because you might experience something, you think, well, is this from God or not? You know, and if you start feeling anxiety about it all, then that's a big red flag that you should be very careful about. The sense. Another thing that struck me when she was talking about the experiences she was having, when she got into visions and locutions and all, the sense of certitude in the truth of the experience, that she was absolutely certain. She felt very peaceful about it and had this certitude that what she experienced really did happen. It was really true.
Because it didn't leave her.
It didn't leave her. It stays with her. And so when she talked to her confessors about it, you know, they would try to tell her it was all imaginary and this kind of stuff like that. But that was, she was absolutely certain that that happened.
She had that certitude. She wouldn't be able to write that book.
Yeah. Well, it, but it also put her in a quandary, because when you go to your confessor and talked about it, you're supposed to do what they tell you to do. And she was sitting there in this struggle, knowing what she was saying was truth, and then having him tell her that it was all in her mind and stuff like that. It was a real struggle for her. She had a lot of problems with that until she started reading Ignatius Loyola, realized he was getting same things, and then she started going to confession to Jesuits, and then that kind of turned her life around a little bit there, because she had somebody she could talk to that understood what she was talking about, and that was a big thing. That was a huge thing for her.
That must have been in the other book, was it?
What?
That must have been in the other book.
It must have been.
Yeah, it wasn't in.
It must have been her life or one of them.
Yeah,
because one of them said that some priest was so concerned about going to hear her confession that they would sit out in the hallway just shaking, not wanting to have her come in because they weren't sure what he was going to come up with.
Interesting.
But I thought that was funny.
She has that book, what, The Way of Perfection or something?
It was probably the book of her life.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because she's got three books that were really
classic.
Need to look at as a whole. The Interior Castle, the Book of Her Life, and then her Spiritual Testimonies. Haresti, those three.
And she
really
struck me as feisty, because she
was
to go
very
into
feisty.
A town, and she could wrap them around her finger, because she was so beautiful, they said, and she could really get what she wanted.
Yeah.
She got this land and that, and she was able to maneuver and work deals. And
that's why God made her beautiful.
Right. Well,
anybody who could ride down the road, have a wheel fall off the wagon, and then tell God, if this is how you treat your friends, what do you don't have very many?
Yeah.
That's pretty feisty.
She was strong.
She was pretty feisty lady. She was pretty feisty. She's one, you know, I often think of, if I'm ever lucky enough to get to heaven, there are certain people I want to meet and talk to. You know, St. Peter's one of them, because he's so human, you know. I just love Peter. Yeah. He's just so human. Yeah. St. John, I'd like to meet him. But Teresa's definitely one I want to meet. I really want to talk to her. She's a real pistol.
Listen,
it's her too growing closer to God by continual awareness of Him being there within her soul. Mm. The constant awareness that He never leaves her.
Right.
He's always there. And then that grows even more when she started getting some of these really deep experiences where it was like always there. She said she could always feel Him next to her. You know, she couldn't see Him, but she knows He's right there. Wow. It's like a blind person that knows that their companion is right next to them. You know, you feel their hand on your shoulder and they're guiding you down the aisle or whatever. There's a couple at church that I think the guy's blind or the girl's blind or something, and they have a hand on the shoulder. You feel that kind of thing where you're the person that's blind, but you feel God's hand on your shoulder, so you know He's always there. He never leaves you.
What a comfort for her.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the idea of walking with God at all times, that it's not a hit and a miss. It's continuous. It's continuous. Always, 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 always there. Of us being with Him, being with us, and us being with Him all the time. And another thing that struck me too was several things she said as you went through the book confirmed what's in the Flame of Love prayer. You know, they got those different statements in there, like, you know, let my soul be in harmony with yours.
Looking in each other's eyes.
Looking at each other.
Silence
together. And the thing that always bothered me in that prayer was being profoundly able to see each other, see within each other. And I was talking to Father Blount about that one day when he was here. And I said, I say this prayer every day. And I know God can profoundly look at me, because He made me. He made my soul. He can see anything He wants. But how can I profoundly look in Him? And He never could give me a good answer on that. You know. But then when you read Teresa, and you get to that seventh dwelling place, and you see how she's actually looking into God, because we're in Him and He's in us. Mm. And she gets into the idea that she's seeing into the, begin to see the essence of God. Mm. That was the first time I finally had an understanding of what that flame of love prayer was really saying, you know. And I thought that was important, because you know, if you can say that prayer every day, which you should, it's nice to know what it means. Yeah. You know? It's really nice when you're praying to have a sense of what you're talking about, you know.
It's good.
So, so I thought that was pretty good. Yeah.
Well, it's sort of like, I guess, if you love somebody, because I like to put spiritual stuff on a natural level. I can relate to it more.
Yeah.
And if you, let's picture someone you love.
Yeah.
You feel that bond, that unity.
You want to be with them.
Oh, sure,
And that's the way it is with God, because the more you love them,
you want to.
Yeah.
I kind of think of the Holy Face devotion that you're trying to.
Yeah.
Is that feast tomorrow?
I don't know, but is it not?
What? The Holy Face?
Oh, I don't know.
I thought it was Holy Name.
Is it?
It was just the other day. I don't know. But yeah,
I didn't think the Holy Face was a feast day.
I didn't either. But they had written with the bishop coming.
Yeah, he's coming.
Mentioned Tuesday. Yeah,
yeah.
There was something about the Holy Face. I thought,
because that's a call, and I might, you have to take a name. So I took Maria. I love that my granddaughter has read Maria of the Holy Face.
Oh,
so if it was, I would. That would be nice.
Well, I might be lying, but we can check.
Might
it out.
Not be, but.
Well, that was all the things I had. Anybody have anything else?
There was one thing I copied. I went through the book quick, so I used the underline stuff. Oh, what a mockery everything is in the world if it does not lead us to union with God or lead us to God.
Mm-hmm. It's useless.
It's useless. It's all. And you think of the world today with the
and the
everything going on
and the football game. That is so encompassing. If not even a tenth of it, if people had that much enthusiasm about God.
Oh, there was a lot of, I didn't see it, because on the news this morning, I don't know which, it was Fox News. They said a lot of religion got into the ads. It was beautiful.
Oh, they did that.
I didn't see it.
I wonder how that happened.
Well, they paid and they let them do it.
It was the halo. Catholic
Is that right?
Oh, it was beautiful.
They had two or three different ads. Yes.
But they had this other one, but I can't remember what it was called. But it was about Jesus, and then they showed everybody fighting and this and that.
Yeah, all the faces and everything. Like Jesus could associate with everybody, and we have to associate with those that are on the fringes that we don't like. It was really.
They
said the first time ever there was faith at the.
Well, there were a couple of players too that had a strong faith that talked.
Yeah, they did.
About it.
Yeah. Did you notice the one? If you watch the game, you notice the one guy when they played the national anthem, he was crying.
Oh,
yeah,
they
did see that.
Yeah,
part.
Yeah. One of the Kansas City players when they had that when Weber McIntyre was singing the national anthem, you could see the tears going down his eyes.
Yeah.
How that was pretty moving.
Did she sing nice? I like Reba. Did she sing?
She did a pretty good job.
Reba was a singer?
Yeah, I wanted to. Yeah. I
didn't get in soon
with
enough.
The dials, and I couldn't find it. I missed it.
Yeah,
I wanted to
hear Channel 9, yeah.
Yeah,
she did.
Thing.
Morning.
Post Malone did the other one.
Hi. How are you?
Morning.
She did she did a nice job. But that was very moving to see that one of the players.
For a change.
Know, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
instead
my gosh.
Instead of taking a knee or something, you know, actually crying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was really nice.
Mm-hmm. They sing it at high school games, and the kids are given the option of whether they want to sing or put their hand on their chest. I mean, they're given the option in high school.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah. I know. It's.
Yeah.
Anything else?
The other thing I wrote down, we should endure everything that happens, because God permits everything, and let us love the one who offends us. She was talking about how we could get antagonistic and not want to take that stuff. She said, no.
Yeah, the ones who offend us are our neighbors, right?
Yeah.
love God, just love your neighbor.
That's a hard part.
That's right. Okay. Okay, what I'm going to do is I've captured almost everything you guys said and stuff, and I'll put together a full document of everything and then send it out to everybody so we can get it as a reminder, you know, and the people who get our class. There's a whole group of people that get our class materials and stuff that I send out. They're all over the place. And our sasen is out to them as well. Because they weren't on Zoom or anything.
One other thought. This whole book just struck me. It's all about our relationship with Jesus and her relationship. And with a normal relationship in marriage or whatever, you do grow deeper over the years. You're not the same person when you were married 5 years, 10 years, 30 years, 40. And that's with God. It's like, it should. It should, if it's... We're doing our part, I guess.
Can I interrupt your meeting for just a minute?
Sure. Support him.
So,
it's going to be packed.
Okay. Well, that's everything I had. Anybody want to bring up anything else?
No, it was good.
Okay. Okay, I'll try to capture this and send it out to everybody so we can... Like a reminder every now and then to think about these things, you know.
Thank you for doing this book. It's not, I mean, it's not like it's a hard book to read, but to get what she really means, it's like another level.
Yeah, right. It was important. I love this book because I've read, like I said, I read it a few times, but I've also read John of the Cross, and I've read, you know, his. When you read him, you gotta be careful about how you read him. Because a lot of people start off with The Dark Night of the Soul, and I think that's not the book to start with.
No.
You know?
Because that's advanced spiritual.
Yeah. So I think his Living Flame of Love is Spiritual Canticle. The Spiritual Canticle is the first one I would do. Because it's like a poem, but it kind of covers the whole thing.
Yeah.
It gives you like the broad brush view of everything, so that you see what's happening. And then after you do the Spiritual Canticle, then you can look at the individual books, like the Living Flame of Love and the Ascent of Mount Carmel. And then I would do the Dark Night probably after the Ascent of Mount Carmel, rather than the first one you look at, because he's very deep. When I compared the two, it was like, if I read John of the Cross, it's like getting a PhD in mystical theology. Okay, I read Teresa, it's like getting all the same thing, but you're sitting on your grandmother's knee and she's giving it to you. You know, that's how I kind of compared the two.
Yeah.
So, if you want to get into John, don't just dive in with the Dark Knight first. You know, it's not the right place to start with him. Well, you can start there if you want, but I mean, that's.
They had some book at the Carmelites, and when I was in, everyone would go, "What are we reading?" I mean, it might have been 20 years ago. And it was like, you did homework, I just wrote it down, but this was the. No one knew what he. But then, now they're doing this, they repeat the book sometimes. They're doing the Spiritual Canticle, which is good, because then there's like a synopsis at the end of each.
Right.
And the fact that it's written in poetry, is so foreign to us.
This is explaining it.
The thing I liked about that was because I hate poetry.
Yeah.
I can't stand poetry. I think it's the most useless way of writing anything you could ever do. That's just my own personal opinion. Some people love poetry.
Yeah.
But because it's translated, it doesn't sound like a poem to me when I read it. It sounds more like a text. And so I could read it without any... hesitation.
Yeah.
But I would start with Spiritual Canticle if you're going to read John of the Cross. He's got a lot of really good stuff. It's amazing. But start with the Spiritual Canticle and go from there. Anything else? Okay, we'll call it a day.
Thank you.
Next week we will.
Done with that book.
Next week we'll.
I said, woo, done with that book.
Yeah.
So that was a big book.
So next week we'll start with the Psalms.
Okay.
We'll start with the Halal Psalms.
That might seem easier.
Okay.
Have a good week.
Yeah, thank you.